McDonald's Lanky Grill Ball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. The Viking Grill Ball Podcast with head coach Matt Coles is your weekly look inside Benton County Vikings basketball. Stand by for recaps and previews of all of this week's Viking action, plus scores, stats, guest interviews, and more. Now broadcasting across the worldwide web
from a padded room in his basement.
Alongside the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Coles, here's your host, Carl Knox.
Fa la 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 la, la 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 la.
That's quite an opening.
You know, I just don't know what's going to come out when I open the mic up. Welcome, one and all, to another exciting rendition of the Viking Rumball Podcast, alongside the head basketball coach of the Benton County Vikings, Matt Coles. My name's Carl Knox. That's really not important. What's important is the Viking Rumball Podcast is presented by McDonald's. McDonald's in MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. Be it before or after the game, McDonald's and high school sports, they go hand in hand. McDonald's, I'm loving it. What are we into the third week of the season? Fourth week of the season?
Yeah.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Yes, it does. It's you know, I've always felt like December is fun. You know, you're starting the season, you're getting going, you've got
you
the
still
holidays.
You still like the kids, you still kind of your coaching staff.
You've got the break to look forward to a little bit, and then, of course, the end of the season, you're getting ready for tournaments. It's January, it's those dog days.
Everyone hates each other. You've been through, like, snow days, makeup days.
So right now we're cool, but we'll see here in a couple weeks.
Well, you know, the week before Christmas.
Yeah.
Have you got your Christmas shopping
done? I'm done, man.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah.
That surprises me.
Yeah, I utilize like cyber whatever days.
I can see you being an online kind
of
guy.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
We also know this is kind of a secret fact about Coach Coles is you like to shop in the middle of the night. I understand you like to do the midnight, go to Walmart.
Oh, no. I wouldn't say midnight, but I hate fighting crowds, you know, so if I can slide in there a little later.
You hide it well, but in all honesty, you're not much of a people person.
No. I'm not a Walmart people person.
No. Well, we got a lot to get to. We got a good guest, kind of a guest on a short notice, but a good one nonetheless. Coach Todd May. Some of you in Southeast Ohio might remember that name. Coach May started out at OU as an undergrad assistant. Then I think he was at Miller, and then he went to Jackson.
Yeah, he was Columbus in a couple different high schools.
Around here.
And at Columbus State for a while, and then he's been over at Concord now for a while as an assistant, now as a head coach. So we're excited to talk to I keep calling him TJ is what we used to call him, but Todd, he got his start. Obviously, he's a Southern Ohio guy, grew up here or whatever, but he has coached a little bit of everywhere and really has developed into, you know, a very successful coach. So it's going to be exciting to talk to him.
Yeah, I mean, obviously with him being on both the high school, on D1 college level, high school level, D2 college, you know, the guy's been, he's been junior college as well. So, but at any rate, we got some games to talk about in the past week, some big games as we met a week ago for episode 65. The topic of the day was kind of the big time TVC Ohio match over at the McAfee Gymnasium with you and the Athens Bulldogs, and you guys come away with a 78-60. Now, I understand there was a coaching discrepancy. The paper, some people reported a 78-59, but according to the stat sheet that I got from our chief statistician, Matthew Allen Combs, it says 60.
78-60. That was the final.
You said it. It's official. Your thoughts as you guys jump out to a 21-8 first quarter lead, then outscore them again in the second quarter, 24-16. So you're 24 going into the break. Obviously, a very strong first half. Give me your rundown on that first half.
Yeah, I mean, we came out defensively. I thought we were pretty solid. Lutz obviously is a very difficult kid to guard.
Really?
Yeah. And you know, you're not going to shut him down completely because he can get his own shot and anytime he wants it and all that. But I thought our guys made him work really, really hard for everything he got. That's all you can do. And forced him into as many tough shots as we could. He made some of them, but some of them, unfortunately, not. And then I thought our defense led to our offense a little bit. We were able to make a couple plays, which led to transition, and then we were able to just get some clean rebounds and outlets, which led to transition. And it always helps when you knock down some shots, and we did that in the first half as well. You know, the thing that impressed me the most for us in the first half of that is, like you said, we scored 45 points. We only had two turnovers. And at the pace we play, I was really happy about that, to be able to play at that speed and only turn it over twice.
Yeah, and then at the break, I didn't want to think it was coming, but in the back of my mind, I had looked at my brother who I went to the game with. I said, Athens is going to come out and make a run.
Yeah, so they expected it. Yeah.
They kind of had, I don't want to say they had one bullet left or whatever. You know, being on their home court, they came out in the first quarter, tried to play zone against you guys,
right,
and you kind of did a good job, obviously, with your perimeter shooting, kind of put them into a situation where they went man. And the one thing they hadn't done is – I don't want to call it a full court press, but pressure ball, you know, yeah, maybe. So I've kind of thought, okay, they're going to come out and press. They did. And really, you know, they outscored you guys 21-12, cut it to about an 8 or 10 point lead at one point in time. Did you talk to the kids in the locker room at about that specific thing?
Well, we did, because we had watched them play previously over the previous weekend when they opened their season. They'd only played twice. And we saw them do nothing but full court press. So we were, you know, that's something we'd worked on.
They pressed a lot against River Valley, the tape I saw.
And we just basically, at halftime, told them, you know, obviously they're going to pin their ears back now and come after us. And I thought our kids handled it all right. I mean, you got to give them credit. They hit a couple shots. They got the crowd into it. They were riding on emotion. And they made their run. I mean, good teams are going to make runs. Like you said, they did cut it to 10 once, but a little too close for comfort probably. But then our guys made a couple. I think we made two defensive plays that led to two easy baskets and got the lead back up to 14, and that was big for us.
Yeah, and to your point about the press, I really don't think we had one turnover, or I think Derek or someone threw a pass that just went out of bounds or whatever. But really, we held our composure through most of the time, and their press in terms of creating turnovers was not, in my opinion, real effective. For Vinton County, as far as scoring, Tristan Bartow leads the Vikings with 24. Derek Jones has 23. Nayland Yates has 15 points. Jake Speakman has 7 for Vinton County. And Bryce Dameron has 3. Also, Eli Griffith comes in with 6 points, as Eli continues to do a really solid job playing a big man position, only as a sophomore. But a great win, a great crowd. Athens is that's a big gymnasium for starters, and I don't know, you probably had a better view from across the court, but I would venture to say Vinton County had as big or maybe a little bit bigger crowd than Athens did.
We've had really phenomenal crowds. I know we're getting ready to talk about Wellston too, and same thing the other night. Our people have really traveled, and obviously at home we have big crowds, but really traveled too, and it's fun. It's fun for these kids to see a lot of people there to support them, and I think this is the type of group that people want to watch, because it's an unselfish group that plays fast, plays the right way, shares the ball, and so hopefully our crowds will continue to be big.
And with that segue, Friday night, December the 16th, down at Wellston High School is another TVC Ohio tilt, as you go visit the Wellston Golden Rockets. Come out of there with another really fast start in the first quarter, outscore the Rockets 17-4 in the first quarter. Second quarter, you double them up 33-18. Go into the half with just a tremendous halftime lead. I think that game, quite honestly, was pretty much out of reach. Third quarter, I don't know what happened if both teams took siestas, but there was only 5 points scored per team.
Actually, on that stat sheet, that got all screwed up.
Who is the stat? Who's doing this?
That was a computer glitch, but we were up 39-12 at halftime. Okay. Like you said, it was a...
Does T-Card do the stats?
He must have done this game.
Okay. Yeah. That's
who will blame him.
Okay, it's T-Card's fault.
We were at 39-12 at halftime. The thing that I was happiest about was our defense, just because we're on the road. You know, obviously we're in a situation where you know, people probably think on paper we're sort of the heavy favorite, but you never know how your kids are going to react to that. Mm-hmm. You know, are they going to sort of go out there and just and be arrogant and loaf and go through the motions and, oh, this is a night where I can get mine. I don't have to share the ball. Our guys didn't do that. I thought they came out. They played with a lot of intensity. A big credit goes to our crowd. Again, it's hard not to be focused and excited to play when you have that crowd. And but I was really pleased with our kids' first half effort. Second half, obviously, in a situation like that, you're playing a lot of different combinations. We started mixing some guys in mid third quarter, and you know, it's always going to get maybe a little sloppy there. But I thought for the first half it was pretty good.
Stats for Vinton County: Derek Jones leads the Vikings with 15. Tristan has 13. Nalen Yates with 14. Cameron Hammond has 4. Jake Speakman with 9. Curtis Vickers, Nevin Yates, Noah Waddell, Anthony Mendez, Eli Griffith, Bryce Dameron, and Seth Bledsoe all have at least have 2 points for the Vikings. So just about everybody on the roster gets in the scoring column. And I wouldn't want to say, obviously, the starters the first half was one story. But to your point, in the second half when you started rotating in some of these kids that don't normally see a lot of playing time, you could tell they took it to heart and were working very hard. Curtis Vickers, one kid that, I mean, he just made the team this year. I think he's
right.
Came out several years, didn't make the team, but you know, he gets in the scoring column and the kid tried. I mean, not a lot of playing time, but he was giving
well, those guys like Curtis and Seth Bledsoe, you're talking about guys that are seniors that don't get in much, and when they get their opportunity, it's important to them and they deserve an opportunity sometimes. So we tried to get them in a little bit sooner the other night, give them a little extra time, and you know, and they take it very seriously and they work hard at it. So, you know, we're always happy. And I loved when he did score, when Curtis scored, the whole bench was into it. And that just kind of shows you the type of kids we have.
Yeah, it was just a good team effort. And, you know, when you have these games and you've been fortunate thus far to have some of these games where you really extend a lead, you know, in the second half that you can, you know, go down into your bench, those things tend to come back to help you later in the season or maybe in tournament time when you've had those combinations of different kids playing with each other. So with the win against Wellston, the Vikings up their overall schedule to 4-0, 3-0 in the TVC Ohio. And, you know, coming up, and we'll talk about this later in the podcast after we talk to Todd May, have River Valley coming to our place tomorrow night, December the 20th. By the way, we are taping this on Monday, December the 19th. I want to get that in because we get in trouble.
Somebody may care.
The boss is who will care. River Valley tomorrow night, December 20th. Then a couple road games. It's like the SVC junket of the year is you got road games over at Zane Trace, and then later on in the break we'll talk about that next week. Southeastern comes to our place on the 27th. So 4 wins, no losses. It's always good when you have all wins and no losses. Magic Johnson said that once. Coming up next, Coach Todd May, a name that many of you might remember way back in the day in the Southeastern Ohio high school basketball coach's litany of names. He's moved on and now a Division II coach at Concord University. We'll talk to him next as the Viking Rumble podcast rolls on. Back on the Viking Rumble podcast, presented by McDonald's. McDonald's of MacArthur, Jackson, Wellston, and Oak Hill. Whether it's before or after the game, McDonald's and high school sports, they go hand in hand. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Episode number 66. Can you believe that, Coach?
Yep.
66. It's amazing. This week's guest on the Viking Rumble podcast, none other than Coach Todd May. He is the head basketball coach at Concord University. It's a Division II NCAA school. And a guy who's got lots and lots of history back here in Southern Ohio. Coach May, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing great. Thanks for joining us, kind of, I know, on short notice, but nonetheless, we appreciate your time. You know, right out of the gate, I was looking at your schedule, and you guys, your season seems to have quite a break around Christmas. Is that unique to your conference, or how does that work?
Well, at the NCAA Division II level, you have to give your guys off 10 days.
Oh, I see.
They try to find a balance there, obviously, compared to the Division I's who are, you know, traveling, playing during the holidays and everything there. So we're required to give them off 10 days, and it just happened to be with our schedule this year that we ended up giving them about a two-week break We played last Wednesday against Bluefield State, and then we're bringing them back on the 28th. So a little bit extra few days there for them to get back home and see family and friends and enjoy the holiday and to, you know, recharge the batteries for the second half of the season.
Coach, appreciate you being on with us, man. You know, obviously, like Carl said, you've got some ties to this area. I think, well, matter of fact, will you get back home during that break? Or are you just going to stay down there?
No, wife and I are actually heading out tomorrow, heading back for about a week. We'll get back tomorrow and then have to be back here on the 27th. So I'll be back in the area for about a week starting tomorrow.
Oh, cool. Great. Talk a little bit about, and I think this is an interesting part when I talk to coaches, especially guys that have reached the level you've reached, the journey, you know, that it takes to kind of get from where you started to get to where you're at. I mean, I think sometimes people think you just apply for a job and, hey, you know, and at the college level, obviously it's a process. It's, you know, to get from point A to point B in someone's career. Just tell us a little bit about, you know, start to finish, sort of your journey.
Gotcha. Started out, I was a undergrad at a high university and had taken a coaching of basketball class with Larry Hunter, who was the coach at OU at the time. And, you know, I had wanted to coach, but really taking that class was really where I learned a lot about the game. You know, I had a great high school coach in Tom Hammond there at Circleville, and he kind of started that process. But then when I got to take that class with Larry, it just, you know, he was really big on fundamentals and just teaching the game of basketball, and kind of thought, you know, this is something I want to do along with teaching. And was lucky enough that fall, I actually got my start coaching up at Miller High School with Ron Ricketts, who's the assistant at Athens now, and worked with him a year. Was the freshman coach there. I think I was in my third year at OU. So started out there. He was let go after that year, unfortunately, but I got to stay on at Miller for another year and had the freshman team, varsity assistant with that, and then came back my fifth year at a high university, was lucky enough to get on with Larry as a manager, student assistant, and had a lot of, you know, things that I did in practice with helping out the team just from a managerial standpoint, you know, refereeing practice and washing, you know, uniforms, different things like that, but also got to do a lot from the administrative side, planning trips, meals, hotels, things of that nature. So, yeah, it was a manager's role, but it was a little bit more than that as well. So it was a great experience learning from Larry, and Gino Ford was on the staff at that time, John Rhodes, Jeff Hamilton, who's the head coach down at Shawnee State. Learned a ton from each one of those guys that I've been able to apply moving forward. And that's obviously where I got to meet Dustin Ford. And the year after that, Dustin got the job at Jackson High School, came over and was freshman coach, varsity assistant with them, and you know, was teaching at Eastern Beaver, and coaching there. So did that for a year, and then was able to get on Jackson as a teacher, and worked with Dustin for three more years, and then he took a job down at Western Carolina. And I was able to get the head coaching job there at Jackson. Very successful our first year. Second year didn't go as we had hoped, but when you add Portsmouth, Ironton, Zanesville, and Chillicothe into the league at that time, it was a tough road for everybody. But did that for 2 years, and then moved back home to Circleville. My mom had some health issues, and we wanted to try to get closer to home, so my wife climbed back up to Circleville. Been a year there as a varsity assistant, and then had the opportunity after that to go to Columbus State. At that point, Columbus State was a junior college. Obviously, they were located in Columbus, Ohio, and they had just come off a Final Four run in the Division II JUCO Nationals to where they made the national championship game. And I wasn't aware of any of that. Just thought it was a great opportunity. Got on board there. Spent 4 years there. My first year, we had a lot of those guys coming back from the national championship run. We were ranked number one throughout the year there. Made it back to nationals and unfortunately got upset in the first round. But spent 4 years at Columbus State. I think we won 100 games in 4 years. So, you know, you guys do the math. That's 25 a year. Had a lot of success there. Got to meet, the great thing about junior college standpoint was got to meet a lot of high school coaches because obviously you're recruiting their kids, but also got to meet a lot of four-year coaches because you're trying to get your kids to move on to that level. So it was very beneficial from that standpoint of meeting people, and that's where I ended up meeting my boss here at Concord, Kent McBride. He recruited some of our guys, and when that job came open after my fourth year at Columbus State, reached out to him, applied for the job, and was fortunate enough to get it. So came down to Concord. First year was very productive. Second year, we only won 8 games. We were very, very young. We had no seniors on our team. But coming back the next year, we had everybody back, and we added a couple pieces, ended up winning 20 games. And then last year was kind of the, icing on the cake. We won 22 games, made a run in March, and ended up being Mountain East Conference champions. We had, at that point last year, we had the number one team in the nation, West Lib, number four team in the nation, and I think they were number four in Fairmont State, and number five in Wheeling Jesuit. And none of those teams made our conference championship. And we were fortunate enough to get there, and we beat Notre Dame, which propelled us on to the NCAA tournament. And, as this business goes, when coaches have success like that, they end up moving on. And my boss ended up getting the Cal PA job, another Division II institution there in Pennsylvania, and I got promoted. So it's been a whirlwind. My wife and I sit here and talk about a lot of just how far we've come since our days back at, Jackson and Miller and OU and different things there. And we're very fortunate and very blessed to be in the position we're in.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy how that stuff works out, and the one thing that's interesting to me as I listen to, because I listen to a podcast that TJ Rosine, who I'm sure you've heard of, is a part of, mm-hmm. Division II coach. He talks a lot about small college, quote unquote small college, coaching, and the thing that interests me about it is that there's a lot of guys who may have the knowledge to coach basketball. But I think coaching at the college level is a whole different animal because of the recruiting aspect, because kids living there on campus, trying to balance everything. That had to be the fact that you spent some time at a D1's place like OU, at a smaller school like Columbus State, that had to kind of, not to mention your time there as an assistant, that had to prepare you a little bit for that, didn't it?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, each of those experiences I was able to pull some things from and to help out in that situation. And, coming from the junior college to the Division II is probably the biggest adjustment, just because of at Columbus State, all of our guys lived off campus. They all had apartments and different things. And just from the rules standpoint, junior college didn't have a lot of rules. They've kind of changed that here in the last few years that I've been out of it. But and then coming to Division II, where obviously there's a lot more rules recruiting-wise, and then, your guys are living on campus, and you're seeing them every day. Columbus State, I was working. I was teaching from roughly 7 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon, then driving an hour up to Columbus. So we didn't see our guys during the day. We only saw them in study hall, practice time, things like that, to where now at the Division II level, guys are, you're seeing them out on campus, you're seeing them over at the dining hall, they're stopping in your office to sit down and talk. And I think it allows to have, better communication and just better, personal relationships with those guys when you can see them on an everyday basis.
Coach, when I know I've seen you out on recruiting, and to that point, in Southeast Ohio, as you well know, there's very, very few student-athletes that make it to the D1 level. Most of the ones that do make it to the collegiate level are either NAIA, D3, or D2. With that being said, if you were to, when you go out and sit down with a family, mom, dad, and a kid, and a recruit, What advice could you give a kid listening to this podcast right now that has aspirations of making it to the next level? Because I know so much of the time, a kid that will be an absolute stud and just be whizzing through their high school days makes it into the college ranks, and within several months or a semester or whatever, they're not there anymore. What kind of advice outside of basketball would you give a student athlete going into the collegiate ranks?
Well, the thing we always try to talk about with the guys we're recruiting, because at our level, obviously, I think this is my opinion over the last 5 years of being at this level, it's the most difficult level to recruit, because you've got other Division IIs you're having to recruit against. You have, obviously, the Division I's that are above you. You have some junior college, and you have some prep schools. And when you factor in all those, it makes it very difficult. But the thing I try to, you know, tell kids that we look at and talk with, it's all about fit. You've got to find the place that is the right fit for you. And along with that, you know, we always try to tell kids, focus on three things, whether that be playing time, arena, academics, the coach, you know, whatever those three things are, because if you start looking at all these schools and you start taking visits and you sit down and you make a list and you've got, you know, 8 things from one school and 10 things from another school and 15 things from another, everything's just going to start getting muddled together. But if a student athlete is able to sit down and say, okay, these things, whatever it may be, you know, playing time, coach-player relationship, how much Nike gear, whatever it may be, whatever those three factors are that are most important to that individual kid, if you're able to sit down and look at every school and compare it with those three factors, I think it just gives them a more focused and narrow approach to what they're trying to get out of their college experience.
Yeah, no doubt. And you do have one sort of local kid, right? The Boldy kid, yeah, from Chillicothe. He's been pretty good for you, I think.
Yeah, Tommy came to us last year as a freshman, was our backup point guard, and is fulfilling that role again this year. I've had a couple games where he's really scored the ball extremely well. Great kid, comes from a great family, and you know, we're definitely looking forward to him moving forward, you know, as a junior and senior in our program and taking over the reins as our point guard of the future here within our program.
Well, hey, Coach, we really appreciate, man, you coming on with us today. I think it's fun to talk to guys who, obviously, they have some connection here, but also have went on to do, you know, great things outside of here. So a lot of fun talking to you. I'm sure you and I could shoot the breeze about basketball for a long time, but I know you've got things to do, so we'll let you go. Be safe on your travels. Hopefully maybe we'll see you during your time up here.
No problem. I appreciate it, guys. Coach Carpenter had given me a call there and said you need somebody to fill the spot, I said no problem. You know, I really appreciate what you guys do and have done. And, you know, we recruit heavily there in Southeast Ohio. I know the coaches very well, and I know that those guys, as far as the players go, get coached, they're held accountable, and we know when we get them down to Concord, if it ends up working out, that we're going to have kids that are going to do things the right way and are going to be productive in our program. So I appreciate you guys having me on, and happy holidays to you guys. I hope that we'll cross paths.
All right. Hey, sounds thanks, great. Coach. We'll talk to you later. Coach Todd May of the Concord University Mountain Lions down in West Virginia. It is in West Virginia, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well,
yeah, that whole D2 league down there, he mentioned that. We didn't get into a lot of it with him, but that's a really – he mentioned the nationally ranked teams there. That conference is really good every year, you know, in D2 basketball. And like you say, we've had some kids go down there, so it's interesting to talk to him.
Quite a story, quite a resume that he's put together back since, you know, 95 when he graduated. But
I'll tell you what, I mean, for having had coached with Chad Carpenter and NJ Kite, it's a miracle.
And
it's
Dustin miracle. Ford.
Well, yeah.
Anyone who's been around Dustin Ford.
Dustin, if you just survive it, you know.
Yeah, it's a good point. That was very well. Yeah, if you survive it. If you don't, like, have to be institutionalized or go to a hospital after being around Dustin, you've made progress. Anyhow, at any rate, coming up next on the Viking Brown podcast, talking about some of the games over the holiday season as the Vikes kind of have a little non-league stretch to get through here. We'll be talking about that as the Viking Rumble podcast rolls on. Back on the Viking Rumble podcast, presented by McDonald's of MacArthur, Jackson, Oak Hill, and Wellston. Tape date, in case you wondered, it's December the 19th. Always like to throw that out there. People need to know what day it is. Alongside the head basketball coach and chief guru for the Vinton County Vikings, Matt Combs. My name's Carl Knox. Happy holidays. Happy holidays to you, Coach.
Oh, same to you.
Happy Hanukkah. Hanukkah's over. Never mind. We got to get back on with the podcast as far as games coming up over the Christmas break. You only got, what, 2 more days of school?
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, Wednesday's our last day.
Wednesday's the last day. And Thursday off. Friday game.
Right. We got River Valley tomorrow night. That's a triple header, starting at 5 o'clock. And, you know, they, River Valley's.
They just got their first win, didn't they?
Yeah. They opened the season.
Yeah,
they had a close game with Megs.
They lost by three. Three.
They've got some kids that can shoot the ball. They make some threes. That's kind of their thing. And they've got arguably one of the best post players in the league, and Jacob Dovenbarger, 6'5" kid, can step out and shoot and can play in the post. They haven't had a lot of success yet. They've played a tough schedule. You know, they played Athens. They played a much improved Jackson team. We'll see. We're hoping to play well again tomorrow night and see if we can't get another one under our belt. And then, like you said, Friday we go to
Southeast
Zane Trace on the road at Zane Trace again. That should be a triple header.
Zane Trace is 3-1 right now. I think they're.
I'd have to look at their record. I'm not sure. They
got it right here. They're 3-1 overall. 3-3 overall. 3-1 in the SVC.
Yeah, they've they got a young team, but they've got a talented team. Obviously, graduated some key pieces last year, but they've done a nice job so far. Because they're 3-3, they actually I think lost their first two.
Okay.
So since then, you know, they're playing pretty good basketball.
Well, and for our Viking fans, just to give you an idea, that should be a good game up there at their place.
Right.
They just beat Piketon 61-53.
Yeah.
Which we opened up the season obviously with Piketon. So
they did the all day. SVC does an all day thing with boys and girls, which was on Saturday. Yeah, and they did beat Piketon as a part of that on their home court. So it'll be leading up to the. To Christmas here, we have two games. It'll be a challenging week for us. Good news is tomorrow night's at home. Hopefully we can play well, get off on the right foot. And then, like you say, it's always a challenge when you go on the road to Zane Trace. We've been playing them for probably 10, 12 years now. I don't know, 10 years. And anytime we go over there, it's always tough. So, our kids will have to be ready to play.
Yeah, that is. And, Zane Trace has had some success. And as far as players for the Pioneers, I know Luke Johnson's probably one of their leading scorers. He's usually averaging 16 to 22 points a game. Kid by the name of Darby Pillow.
Darby Pillow is an interesting story.
It's an interesting name.
But yeah, it's a cool name. First of all, it sounds like he's like a lead singer for somebody. He's a really good athlete. In the fall, he plays football. He's one of the main. He's a receiver on the football team and kicker. Ran cross country and played soccer.
No way.
In the fall. Yeah. So basically he would go to football practice, and then they'd let him kind of cut out of there and go to soccer practice. And then like on Saturday mornings, he's running cross country. I mean, it was phenomenal.
I'm sure you play two sports. You're already in shape. So as far as cross country, I'm sure the kid,
it was crazy. So, he's a good athlete. He's probably their most experienced player. They've got some young kids. And they got a kid named Beam who's a
Isaac
really
Beam.
Tough, hard-nosed kid. He's a kid that concerns you as a coach, opposing coach, because he just gets a lot of rebounds, a lot of loose balls, just plays really, really hard. And Coach Coker does a nice job with them, so it'll definitely be a challenge.
Another kid had on my pencil list here, a kid by the name of Ty Shanton. A big scorer, had 7 assists.
Yeah, he's a guard for them. Very good football player. A lot of these names you're saying were like all district caliber football players. You know, they've had real good teams the past 2 years in football, and so obviously good athletes. You know, that are kind of learning new roles because they graduated a lot, but still very athletic kids.
Okay, well, it should be an exciting week. Hopefully tomorrow night on the 20th. Big home crowd for River Valley, and hopefully stay undefeated in the TVC Ohio, and should be a good time.
Yeah, one thing I wanted to mention, because I keep forgetting to do this. We started
the JV.
What's that?
Are you going to talk about the JV tournament that we always forget to talk about? Or
well, no, I'm not. I'm not. We're not actually having that all day JV thing. Now I've got two things I got to mention.
Okay.
First, schedule wise, we are going to make up a freshman game because we had a team in our league not have freshmen, plus we had another game where freshmen aren't playing. So just so people will know, and I mean I'm giving a little early heads up here because I know we're going to be on next week, but on the 29th we'll have a 6:00 just freshman only game.
Okay.
And then later on, like in January, we'll do a freshman and JV game with Federal Hockey, and I think on January 17th. But no, what I was going to mention was we started this year the game ball sponsor.
Yeah.
And they've done this at other schools, and we've never really done it. And I wish we had, because I think it's really cool. The businesses that are involved seem to really enjoy it. You know, we had, but one of the things we promised is to mention them on here, and I haven't yet. So our first game, we had Vinton County National Bank against Piketon, and then against Nelsonville, we had Buffalo Dip, and then tomorrow night we have Mamarini's. So yeah, so we've got somebody planned for every night. We might even have a Carl Knox sighting in one of these sponsorships.
Actually, I think my people were talking to your people, and we had indicated a list of, you know, I don't say requirements because that sounds pretty strict, but requirements.
Prerequisites.
I don't know if you guys have ever gotten back to us about whether or not all those things can happen.
Oh, well, I've checked with my agent.
Okay. Maybe. No, seriously, in all honesty, like you said, the game ball thing, one, it's a good fundraiser for you guys. Two, and it gives the local businesses, you know, some publicity, which they rightfully deserve. And I'm not patting myself on the back. This is to all the in a community like Vinton County, there's so few businesses as opposed to say a Jackson or right. Chillicothe or Athens that these same businesses get picked on
sure.
a lot. And I know you're very grateful, as is the entire athletic department, for all the you know the local businesses that help out. So it is nice that they can go out at half court and get the picture taken with the official. And right. do they get to keep the ball?
No.
Oh, okay. No. Well, that
get a nice certificate, hang right up by my picture in your office, and you know
I have pictures in my office. At any rate, you have a good week, sir, and we'll be back next week. I think given the fact that we're going to the kids will be on vacations, practices will coincide better with our schedule, so maybe next week we're going to get some kids on.
That'd be great.
So. For Matt Combs, Carl Knox saying thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time on the Viking Roundball Podcast.
You've been listening to the McDonald's Viking Roundball Podcast, presented by McDonald's of Jackson, Wellston, Oak Hill, and now proudly in MacArthur. McDonald's and Viking basketball. I'm loving it. Join us next week for an inside look at Vikings hoops with the head coach of the Vikings, Matt Combs, and your host, Carl Knox, right here on the McDonald's Viking Roundball Podcast.